Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. After the Nittany Lions really did the expected and went out to Purdue and won that game 34-9. Defensively played brilliant. The secondary was outstanding. I mean, they were between the secondary and the outside linebackers all over the field against Purdue. Now, you're probably wondering about Jordan Hill, and I'll get a better readout. But Jordan Hill did not practice at all last week anyway. He didn't practice one time. He's been having trouble with this meniscus, you know, and so they've been going through and just making sure that, because look, he knows how to play, and the key will be, can they get him through this week to then make sure he's possibly playing on Saturday? I don't know, because that's the one thing that, I mean, he sprained it. He did not do any ligament damage to his knee at all. None. In terms of the ligaments in the knee, he did not do any ligament damage to his knee on Saturday. But the meniscus is sprained without a doubt. Now, this has been a problem that they have been dealing with him now for a couple of weeks. He hasn't had many reps in practice over the last couple of weeks. Had some reps the week before Ohio State, obviously, but I'm not sure he took a rep last week, and then played in the game, and then he got bent back in a bad way, and and feared the worst. And we don't, can he play Saturday? I don't know. I have no idea. Can he play against Indiana the week after? I don't know. Don't know. But is the door open to the possibility, depending on how things go for him over the next few days? Yeah, believe it or not. We'll have to see. You want to talk about a guy literally being on a day-to-day basis? But then again, Bob Buehner, aren't we always on a day-to-day basis, each one of us?
We certainly are. And sorry I just got here a few moments late, Steve. I was out on Lake Augusta in my sailboat, and the wind changed on me. I was working out for the America's Cup coming up. So, got here at the studio, and hey, what time did that plane of yours get into Purdue Friday night? Right about curfew time for you, wasn't it?
So I think we got to the hotel about, I want to say 10, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I got on the bus, and I looked at Colleen O'Brien and go, like a basketball trip, I said, leaving under the cover of darkness. It's not something that bothers me at all. That part of it. I guess whether the plane had a tire blowout somewhere before it came to State College. Well, you have to go in, put a new one on, and so forth, and it sets the entire schedule back. It's not as simple as the pilot going up and finding the jack. All right, so let's go to Chip in Mifflintown. Hi, Chip. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on board.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chip. It's nice to hear from you.
Hey, two things. First of all, it's really nice to listen to the post-game press conferences now. There seems to be a little more joking, a little more fun than in the past. And the other thing...
Yep.
I'm sorry. The other thing was, I wanted to ask you, did you learn anything more about Bill not playing on Saturday? Basically, an allusion to or reference to practice last week.
Bill Belton?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Belton didn't play because he played, two plays in the game?
Carry or something, yeah.
Yeah, he had no carries, I don't think, in the game.
None.
He was in for two plays. Zwinak was great in practice last week. You could see it. You could tell he was going to get the bulk of the carries just watching him in practice. You could just see it. They also wanted to attack Purdue with a bigger back. They wanted to pound the ball at Purdue with bigger running backs. Thus, the two running backs that got the ball on Saturday were Zach Zwinak and Michael Zordich. Belton okay. now knows, but Belton now knows that he cannot go through a practice week and just go through the motions in a practice week. He has to go through it and attack the practice week as if he's trying to win time in the game. Billy knows that. He's smart about that stuff. I would sense we see a Bill Belton this week that is fully and completely engaged in what's going on.
So part of it was definitely just in reference to a lack of practice intensity then?
I think part of it was is that Zwinak just practiced better than everybody else did, and so did Zordich. So they got the bulk of the work. And okay. if you practice better, you're the one that ends up playing. You don't practice as well, you're the one that ends up watching. So, you know, and there are different ways. And sometimes it's not a lack of intensity. Sometimes it's just a week where, you know, you don't have it. You can't find a gear. It's like being at work. There are just moments sometimes at work where no matter how hard you try, you just don't feel like you can find a gear. Well, I would sense that Billy finds a gear.
Okay, thanks.
Chip, thank you.
And all right. Steve, you know, Zwinak really did, and Zordich put a licking on the linebackers and linemen for Purdue all game long.
Well, they did. I mean, it was good, hard, tough power running. And it's no coincidence, all right, that Penn State this year has had 4 100-yard rushers in a game. They've won all four games. Penn State has now won 28 games in a row in which it's had a 100-yard rusher. Penn State has won 55 of the last 58 games they've played in which they've had a 100-yard rusher.
And
But that's how important it is.
And Zwinnick's the real deal. No, there's no question about it. I have a feeling those Purdue linebackers about midway through the fourth quarter were kind of looking at each other and going, don't give it to him. Just don't, because he just bowls people over, and he has an uncanny ability to move the pile forward.
He does, and he's really good straight ahead speed. I mean, in fact, you throw him out in a 40-yard dash, his odds of beating all the other running backs in a 40-yard dash actually favor him. I mean, his straight ahead speed is far greater than people realize it is. Now, do other guys have the ability to cut and still maintain a high level of speed? Yes. Does he? His speed will drop down when he cuts a bit. But when he's straight lined, he can outrun anybody in the backfield. Literally. He's just a good player.
Steve, I don't think he worries all that much about cutting because I think he just looks at whoever's in front of him and goes, you're going to meet your maker, buddy. Here I come.
Well, he's 232 pounds. And it's interesting, he is put together in such a way where when you stand next to him, you don't feel like you're standing next to somebody who's 232 pounds.
No, you're right. He does not look like he is a typical thing. Who was it, Newsom, that used to play for the Dallas Cowboys that had that low center of gravity? And
right, yeah, from the University of Houston, yeah.
Yeah, he's not like that.
Robert Newsom, yeah.
Yeah, not that kind of a player. He's just a very well-proportioned, put-together fellow.
I mean, he is packed together.
Yeah.
I mean, he's packed in. And in other words, all the times I've talked to Zach, stood next to Zach, I always felt like I was looking at a guy that was maybe about 210, 215. He's 232. I mean, and it's just, he is packed together. I mean, his body fat content, probably is more my toe.
Yeah.
This is maybe a sad commentary on me.
Yes. You know, the thing that was interesting as I'm listening to you call the game on Saturday, I was wondering, you know, Zordich is getting an awful lot of carries, and they're not huge carries. But I think the strategy was pound, 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 and just eventually Purdue will give up. And apparently their fans gave up about halftime, if not before.
They gave up, I think, before the game started. This was not a big crowd there. They announced it at 40,000. And that's 40,000 tickets sold.
Yeah.
My guess is there are 25,000 to 30,000 in the place.
A lot of ticket holders cleverly disguised as empty seats, apparently.
Yeah, they were. But they're really unhappy.
Yeah, you could just sense that. you know, in the media coverage. You know, Steve, there's a lot of stuff going on, and this is like the greatest time. If you're a sports fan like you are, like I am, like a lot of our listeners out there, this is just an incredible time of year.
Oh, no, I mean, you have to enjoy it. I mean, look at the weekend we just had. Now, Schick played Milton the other night.
What a shocker.
Milton won it.
Danville upset Selins Grove in many people's eyes, becomes top seed in District 4 in the AA classification, ends this regular season 8-2. They play three seniors. Everybody else on the team in the 19 other positions are juniors or sophomores.
Right.
So that's good. And you know what? I caught my eye. Penn State wrestling. You know, the two-time defending national champions for their wrestlers were in the preseason wrestling classic over the weekend, and they went 2-2. I think Dylan Alton won. Dave Taylor was upset in quadruple overtime.
Yeah, but he's changed classification, too.
Yeah. Quentin Wright is up to 197.
Yeah.
I forget which one of the Alton brothers. I think it's Dylan was in, and he won.
Right.
And the 125-pounder who has a long
Megalutis.
Greek, yeah, who's a long Greek name that I can't pronounce.
Nico Megalutis.
Yeah, he did very well. So, you know, we've got wrestling.
Look, Jack had a great line. He looked at me, and we were on the bus going over, and he must have asked me about the wrestling team two or three times. And he looked at me, he says, you know what? He says, that inter-squad scrimmage they had the other night? I said, yeah. Might have been the toughest dual meet they have all season.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, probably is. I said, Penn State wrestling reminds me of the stories you hear about Notre Dame football after the war.
Yes.
That they had so many players that the practices during the week were far tougher than the games because Notre Dame's too deep because after the war it was unbelievable. Well, Penn State wrestling's 2-3 deep is so unbelievable right now that the wrestling room might be the toughest part of their week.
Yeah, the old story at Notre Dame was that the West Dormitory was better than Nebraska in 1948, something like that. And their intramural teams, just phenomenal. But you're right, the depth that Cale Sanderson's been able to accumulate, it's obvious that kids coming out of high school want to wear the blue and white, want to go to PSU, want to be coached by Cale Sanderson. And the junior varsity lineup at Penn State could do very well in the Big Ten championship.
I mean, he's at a point now where he's taking highly talented individuals that you would have counted on in years past, hoping that, you know, they could, you know, really help you as freshmen, end up maybe with a, you know, 25-10 record or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's redshirting those kids now.
Yeah.
He doesn't need them at this moment. It gives them time to develop better and to understand techniques on their clock without being forced to do so on a mat in front of people.
And I think I reported earlier that a local boy, Dylan Daly from Danville, apparently made the team.
Mm-hmm.
Really gifted and highly intelligent, and he will just be good if he ever gets to see outside the practice room.
But anybody can do it.
Absolutely.
Okay? Anybody can do it. And what's interesting is that you look at Penn State when they won their first one under Cale Sanderson. What was interesting, though, and you have to pay tribute to what other people have done, too, because Troy Sunderland actually recruited five of those guys.
Yes.
And Cale recruited five of those guys. And so Troy has to get a lot of credit for recruiting some talented people that made a difference in the national championship run. You know, and Cale's going to naturally get credit no matter what,
sure,
because number one, he's Cale Sanderson. Number two, he is the head coach.
Sure.
Along with a staff, by the way, that he gives all the credit to in the world. You know, Cody Sanderson.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, and what they do, okay? He gives all the credit to that staff all the time. At the same time, it should be pointed out in all fairness that Troy Sunderland, despite the criticism he did receive, recruited half that team that won that first national championship.
Is Andy Lynch from Mifflinburg still the director of wrestling operations? I know he was, I think, last year.
Yeah, I believe he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's a – talk about a local family that knows how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Bob Lynch, who's the granddaddy of the team, was at Lock Haven when they were the, you know, nationally ranked as a collegiate wrestling team.
Mm-hmm.
He sent a few fellas to Penn State that did rather well, and now the next generation. And we also have, I see, at least on my calendar, Steve, I don't know about yours, there might be actually college basketball played this Friday night.
There is, and I'm still waiting word on whether I'm doing the game or not. I'm not sure yet. I'm still waiting for a decision to be made about how I'm traveling to the game.
I'm either going
in the football plane or else I'm going in the I haven't been told yet as to which way we're going on that yet.
Oh, I actually was referring to Bucknell going out to Purdue, and of course.
Well, that'll be interesting because you know what. Purdue's a good basketball team. They're good, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Bucknell can win that game.
I was reading,
I've seen enough of Purdue to know that Bucknell can win that game. Losing Robbie Hummel, all right, and losing the point guard, Lewis Jackson, and then Ryan Smith was a good three-point shooter. Those are three big losses as to how Purdue wants to play the game. And if Bucknell plays it right, they can win it.
The Bison did not have the chance to have an exhibition game like Purdue, I think, has had two. Penn State's had one exhibition and then one game.
One scrimmage against Robert Morris, which is you're allowed that. You're allowed the one closed one that's totally closed. They had that against Robert Morris.
And so, Penn State plays Saint Somebody from over in Loretto, Pennsylvania. Is it St. Francis?
Penn State plays St. Francis, Robbie Krimmel's team. So that's the opener. Then the second game of the season is against 6th-ranked NC State in Puerto Rico.
Wow. And do you get to do that trip?
That's still up in the air, too. I don't know. So I am in a phase right now where I don't have answers. These are things I proposed in July, just to make sure everybody understood the circumstances. So to help with decisions and so forth. And I brought it back up about 3.5 weeks ago. So I'm still waiting to hear what they want to do and I'll tell you the big problem with the Puerto Rico thing that keeps being brought up to me is that, they want to make sure I'm back in time for Indiana at noon on Saturday. And I said, look, I got all day Friday to travel, but, they don't want to do anything that risks the possibility I wouldn't be doing a football game.
Well, understandable. But so for you, this is just a hectic but practically totally enjoyable kind of hectic activity. It doesn't get better than that.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I just, and I'll find out within the next day or two what the situation is. And whatever it is, I'll go with it and roll with it, and it'll be fine. So, whatever they decide I'll obviously go with it because that's, it's my job and it's their decision.
I have a suggestion. Cloning.
Yeah, cloning.
Could work.
You want to know what bothers me about the cloning thing?
What's that?
Is that the odds are that my clone would be much better looking than me. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. SJS following OTM.
All acronyms, all the time.
Absolutely. And Mark Lawrence, hey, I'll tell you right now, right in the thick of it on Election Day.
He is, this is the day he waits for 364 days of the year.
It's one thing that's great about sports, Bob. Right? I do 102 or 3 games a year.
Yeah.
So really, he can wait. Now, in a presidential election, you have to wait 366 days because it's always on leap year.
Right.
Okay. All right, I get the thrill 100 to 110 times a year. So, really.
Yeah.
He
only gets one regular Christmas day a year, and then Election Day is Christmas, and you get over 100 Christmas mornings.
Absolutely. And then I actually get Christmas morning itself, which is great. And you should see what Sarah and I have combined to get Kevin this year. It is really great.
Is it in the shape of a pierogi? Just asking.
No. I don't want to hear anybody tell me that they think the coal industry is dying. Sarah and I are. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And the Lenape Solar Hotline. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. News is next. And then the final half hour of the show, Buter's in the house, smiles on my face, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm Steve Jones, and I approve this show. Great to have you with us on this Monday. All right, I want to bring up something, and maybe the fans can respond to this. We've now watched Oregon play football a lot this year. They ring up numbers that are mind-boggling, including 63 against USC on Saturday. Is Oregon football fun to watch, or is it something you don't enjoy watching?
Boy, that's a really good question.
I mean, we watched LSU and Alabama play, and I was able to get back in time to see the entire fourth quarter of LSU and Alabama. I listened to a little bit on the radio driving home and then watched the entire fourth quarter. Good, hard-nosed football game. A lot of good athletes in it. A lot of hitting. Intensity. A.J. McCarron was 1-for-7 in passing until he engineered the game-winning drive at the end. And T.J. Yeldon, there is a name. Circle that name. That youngster is healthy his entire college career. He will not be lasting long in an NFL draft. Jack and I have talked about Yeldon from day one since he played the first couple of games at Alabama about how impressed we have been about T.J. Yeldon. And you saw in that screen pass that burst where he caught it and then found the seam, was patient, and then the burst and into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. Then you go to Oregon. They win the game, 63-45 or some number like that. Okay, is that entertaining football to you? Do you like watching a game like that? Do you like Oregon style, or don't you like that style? And should rules be put in place to make sure somebody like that doesn't have as much of an advantage? So 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. What do you the fans think about it? You watch it. I mean, is it entertaining to watch, or do you just like, I don't want to keep watching this?
You know, Steve, there was a saying, you know, I went to a boxing match the other night and a hockey game broke out, you know, right, talking about, and you could say about Oregon football, I went to a football game and a track meet broke out. I mean, they are sprinters. They are, oh boy.
They're unbelievably fast, but I think if you put them against LSU, even with two losses, or, you know, they'll beat LSU because they, remember, last year Oregon played LSU, okay, and LSU beat them in Dallas, in Arlington, in the opening game of the season. So, I mean, Oregon's played LSU within the past 15 months and lost. Now, it's a little different LSU team. Honey Badger's not there anymore. Jordan Jefferson's not there anymore. So it's a little bit different. Lee was the quarterback in that game when they played last year. So that's changed a little bit, and LSU doesn't quite have the offense to rack up some points where, you know, because I think, you know, you get in a game like that, you're going to need at least 24 to beat them if you play great defense. Now, Alabama going to beat them. Alabama has athletes on defense, okay? C.J. Mosley, okay? Square, Damian Square, Milner, and guys like that that all have speed and can play and can run. Nico Johnson, speed, can run. Remember, I've seen this Alabama team twice in person, and these are the same cast of characters I've watched twice in person in the last 3 years. So I know what they bring to the table in terms of athleticism on defense. And USC doesn't have those kind of athletes. Nobody in the Pac-12 has those kind of athletes.
Alabama's defense literally packs a good punch. There's no question about it. And it was a Donnybrook, the Alabama-LSU game Saturday night. I watched the whole thing. And it was good old coal region smash-mouth football, frankly, to use a local analogy. And they just went at it and duked it out for a while. Meanwhile, on the West Coast, it was truly a track meet, and whoever had the fastest relay team at the end was going to win.
Look at the top six teams in the BCS. Okay, Oregon's the only one that doesn't fit the mold. A lot of people like flash, dash, spread offenses, things like that. I understand that. But look at Alabama, number one, defense. Okay? good, steady quarterback that rarely makes a mistake. I think McCarron still has not thrown an interception. He wasn't picked off the other night, I don't think. No. So, I mean, you know, he may have struggled in the second half going 1-for-7 until the final drive. But, again, steady, good running games. Lacy, Yeldon, whom I've just referenced. Then you go to the number two team, Kansas State. They play good defense. They're more of a spread team with Colin Klein. He'll run, he'll pass. It sounds like he has a shot at playing in this week's game. Okay. Oregon, of course, we know what they do. We've just documented. But Oregon's playing better defense than they were a few years ago. And they lost to Auburn 22-19 in the national championship game out in Arizona. Auburn shut down that Oregon offense. They could never get going in that game, never found a rhythm in anything that they were doing. And also, the Oregon defense this year is better than the Oregon defense of that year. Then you get to Notre Dame, the team that has the least chance of getting to the national championship game of these of the four teams that are unbeaten in this group. They have the least chance. They don't play in a conference championship game. They're going to lose the points on that, and there's just a lot of things that are not going to go their way. They need people in front of them to lose. They need both Kansas State and Oregon to lose because Notre Dame's not going to get there. They are not going to get there. And they're a team that Notre Dame is playing great defense, but they're also playing too much to the edge.
Boy, they are right on the edge.
Yeah, they played a great game at Oklahoma. Great game at Oklahoma. All three phases. Did not play a great game against Pitt in almost any phase.
Yeah, Pitt really had them. They missed it, the old wide left, wide right on this one, I think it was, in the second overtime. And, you know, this is a Pitt team I think lost to Youngstown State.
Yes, they did.
So,
but the Pitt's also played Notre Dame tough in each of the last 4 years. Yeah. Very tough. So they match up well with Notre Dame. But I've always had this theory, and I always maintain this theory. At some point, the team you're playing remembers who they are. And at some point in a game, you remember who you are.
It took till the third overtime, though.
And all of a sudden, they started remembering who they were. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then you get to Georgia. Georgia's a team, good defense, good solid quarterback, not a spread guy, can throw the ball. LSU, good defense, runs the ball. Quarterbacks, you know, they run stuff out of the spread, but he's not a spread quarterback. He's not in the mode of a Braxton Miller or a Denard Robinson or a Taylor Martinez. It's interesting that despite the flash and dash of the spread, quarterbacks that run exciting football like that, Taylor Martinez, Denard Robinson, Braxton Miller, and so on and so forth. There's only one team in that group there that plays like that with Colin Klein. There's only one offense that's off the charts. That's Oregon. Everybody else is built on defense.
And, you know, if you can stop Oregon for early on with some three and outs and set your offense against their defense and pound them around a little bit in the first and second quarters, I think the Penn State versus Purdue strategy of the big backs and pounding them will win out in the end, or at least that's what I think the Alabamas, Coach Saban, I think that's what they would be thinking against an Oregon. But you don't want to let them run wild early because it will be a track meet. You're playing catch-up.
Well, exactly. I mean, they usually score in six of their first seven drives in a game. They rang up 730 yards. I mean, USC is not a mediocre defense. USC is a good. They're not great, but they're a good defense. They're a little thin on the defensive front right now, right? But they're a good defense, not great, but good. 731 yards. I mean, the running back had 321 and 5 touchdowns.
Those are just dazzling numbers, to put it mildly.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if they're playing with a ball or a baton.
Steve, I think the big problem for the typical football fan, if you're watching Oregon, you're afraid to go out and take a break and get a soda or something to drink, some potato chips, because by the time you come back, it could be three touchdowns scored.
I mean, it's their speed is unbelievable. The pace they play at is unbelievable. You just have to be ready to go again, but you have to smack them.
Yes.
The one thing that a team like that does not like, there's one thing above all they hate. They hate being hit.
That's why they're runners.
Right. They hate being hit, and they don't react well to being hit. And that's a big problem. You know, and that's what you have to do. You have to get in their grill. Penn State, Miami, and the 87 Fiesta Bowl What's the biggest thing Penn State did defensively in that game? They took those wide receivers and they smacked the living daylights out of them to the point where all of a sudden each one of them, Perriman, Irvin, all those guys got alligator arms going over the middle of the field.
And I think we all know how that works. And I think the strong defenses can really have some look with eager anticipation to playing in Oregon just for the very fact they get an opportunity to really take a shot at somebody every play.
Got to catch them first.
Yeah, with the coach's encouragement. But you're right, you got to catch them, but you do both start from a neutral position, so there is a chance to really whack somebody legitimately.
But that's what you have to do. You have to smack them in the mouth, and that's how you have to play Oregon. You have to make it so suddenly that reckless abandon that they play with it all of a sudden has a half step of caution to it. That's why you have to be able to play it that way. The quarterback, the kid from Hawaii, is a good-looking athlete. He's just a redshirt freshman. Calm, cool, collected, throws a nice ball, runs well, has good straight-ahead speed. So, you have to be impressed by what Oregon does and the style that Chip Kelly plays. So, to me, it's fun, entertaining, and to see them matched up with Alabama would be a fun, entertaining game. It would capture the national imagination. But they need Kansas State in front of them to lose. And Colin Klein, Bill Snyder were sounding more optimistic about him today. Notre Dame, I know we have a lot of Notre Dame fans out there, but the numbers don't go your way. They just don't go your way. I mean, the schedule, because they're an independent, the schedule just suddenly hits the cliff of mediocrity right at the time where they need a signature win. I mean, and that's a huge problem with them. I mean, LSU plays Alabama. Oregon plays USC. Now, Notre Dame still has to play them, but Oregon still has to play Oregon State, which has had a really good year. And, yeah, Kansas State, they still have games down the stretch that are going to be intriguing for them. And they beat Oklahoma already as well. They already beat Oklahoma. Notre Dame hits this part of the cliff, and it doesn't help them. It just doesn't help them. And they don't play because they're not in a conference. They don't have the conference championship game to help them either.
Yeah, certainly that gives some teams in the BCS an extra boost at the right time.
Well, there's risk.
Yes.
I mean, how many times along the way have we seen one of those conference championship games suddenly change the balance of what's going on? In Kansas State, here they are in the number two spot. I remember Kansas State playing in Kansas City against Oklahoma, ranked number two, and lost the game and lost the chance to play for the title. Seen it before. Nebraska played Texas. Nebraska is on the verge of going to the national championship game and Texas upset them, knocked them out. Penn State ended up playing Texas in the Fiesta Bowl that year, and Penn State ran them off the field. But, you know, it knocked Nebraska out when they had a chance to win it. It's happened in the SEC before. So the risk. And Notre Dame gets by the risk by not playing in one of these games because they're not a part of a conference. And to me, that's part of the playoff process. And as a voter, I would look at a team that plays in a tough, hard-fought conference championship game as an extra game, as another added risk that could knock them out. And that counts for me as opposed to a team that's watching it on TV.
And Notre Dame, I think you're exactly right. Their strategy is the three teams are in front of them, only two have to lose one of their remaining games, and they can get in and end the season undefeated.
Yep.
And they got a lot. They have a national following, obviously, and a lot of sentiment in their favor. And you're right, Steve. Central Pennsylvania, especially up in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area, huge Notre Dame following,
And by the way, Kansas State's in the same boat. They don't play in a championship game either.
The Big 12 is no longer, is that it?
Yeah, because they only have 10 schools.
That's right. You have to have
12 to play. They don't have that. So Kansas State's in the same boat. They finish as well. Now, Alabama, right now they control their destiny in the Western Division. They'll have to play the SEC title game at the Georgia Dome. Oregon would have to play in the Pac-12 championship game. Okay. Georgia's five right now. They'd be the team that would play Alabama in the SEC title game.
Yeah, that'll be one of those ones I think Notre Dame is hoping that Georgia would upset Alabama to knock them out, and then everybody moves up a notch. Yeah, this is a great time of year.
Theoretically, unless Georgia jumped them.
Yeah. But isn't this a great time of year? By the way, Kevin Herr, lets me know that he has already determined the playoffs for the District 4 Championship 2016. He projects the Little Braves of Shikellamy will be playing the Baby Seals in the first round in 2016. Of course, we have to get through 2012 first, but Kevin's on the ball.
He is. I received three whine, moan, and complain texts about officiating yesterday, basically that the fix was in for the Giants. I'm sorry. You know, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Okay? The call on Ryan Clark in the end zone is a terrible call. It's bang, bang. The official probably thought it was head-to-head. It wasn't even close. It's just a bad call. Bad calls happen. You move on. I mean, there's no conspiracy theory. If that were the case, they'd take away the Steelers' victory over Seattle in the Super Bowl that year because, I mean, that was handed to them. Believe me. All right. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. More on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Final stages of the show. Great to have you with us.
Steve, a couple high school or college football scores over the weekend in the local area. Bloom University beat Westchester 24-23. Looks like they're headed to the NCAA Division II playoffs. Shippensburg walloped Cheney like 61-9. They're the Oregon of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. They are putting phenomenal numbers up. They play IUP, the Mountain Hawks or something. No, they're not that. Some kind of hawk. They used to be the Big Indians before that became politically incorrect. And they play IUP in the state game at IUP next Saturday. Looks like Shippensburg's off to the playoffs as well and may be the number one seed in the Northeast region if they can go past IUP. So, and Bucknell, a big winner, a come-from-behind win over Fordham. Yeah.
I think that's great. I'm thrilled for Joe Susan because Joe Susan's a very good coach. He has a very young team. They beat Fordham last year. They come back and beat them again this year. They did it at home. They're at, Georgetown this week, I believe.
Yep.
And Sarah's going to be working sideline in that game, from what I understand. So.
Yep.
So Joe's, I think, has done a fabulous job.
He just needs to get a little more experience on those frontline players that he's recruited. I think they're getting it this year, but there will be good things out of the Bison in years to come.
Yeah, no, and it's a very young football team, and that's a great win for them. Penn State plays at Nebraska. One of the keys in this game is going to be giveaway takeaway. Penn State comes into this game plus +9 on the season in giveaway takeaway. Nebraska is a shocking 7-2 with a minus -9 giveaway takeaway. Nebraska has put the ball on the ground 22 times this season, fumbled it 22 times and lost 14 of them. They are fumbling the ball, okay, 2.5 times a game. A game. 2.5 times a game they put on the ground. They lose 1.5 of them. And it's shocking that a team is 7-2 with a minus -9. I've never seen that.
Those are really divergent statistics, obviously. Tell us a little bit about what you anticipate the environment next Saturday out in Lincoln.
All red, loud, and supportive. But when the game is over, regardless of the outcome, the fans in the northwest corner of the stadium where the Penn State Tunnel is will give Penn State a standing ovation.
And
they do that for every team that comes in. No matter what the outcome of the game is, they give a standing ovation to the team as they leave the field in that corner of the end zone.
It's been said over the many, many years that Nebraska fans can be considered some of the classiest fans in college football.
Well, my experience with them has been exactly that. And I remember doing basketball there back in the day. And I've done football there before. It's not the first time.
Right.
This will not be the first football game I've done there. but doing basketball there and kidding around with their students before the game, and you can kid around with their students before a game. I mean, because they're into what's going on, but they're fun kids, and it's not a life and death situation to them. They just love going to games and being a part of it and so forth. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
And it sounds like the Penn State team, by virtue of their road record in the Big Ten already, kind of likes traveling to away games.
Well, they get a road mentality, and he tells them in no uncertain terms, he tells them, he said, look on this plane. He says, coaches, players, staff, you know, he says, this is all we need to do. That's all we need to win is what we have here. That's all we need. And I think that and that's the mentality to take him. Plus, he's very aggressive on the road too. He doesn't play close to the vest. He just attacks.
Yeah, and I think the mentality of this team, which was set in the preseason, Mike Maudy and Zordich and company, I think they feed off that us versus them. We're on the road with a little bit of an attitude, and ought to be fun Saturday.
I work with a guy with tude. I mean, Kevin has some attitude. I mean, really. Doesn't match up with anybody else we know.
Oh, not at all.
Bobby, thanks, buddy.
All right, Steve.
Sarah, thanks. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.